the award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day.
Yeah, it certainly is. Welcome to a Tuesday night edition of Sports Day. Matt Rogers, Jason Matthews, and our great mate Scotty Sattler popping into the studio tonight. Boys, welcome. Matty, first of all, welcome to Sports Day.
Oh, mate, I'm speechless to see my mate sitting beside me.
Sats, yeah. You rang me this morning and I was blown away when you said, "Hey, Jace, what do you think? Should I come in, have a chat?" And I said, "Mate, it's up to you." And it takes a lot of courage for you to come in and given the state you're in and your family and the pain you must be going through after losing your dad yesterday. Mate, it's only just been over 24 hours. Yeah, mate, I'm surprised to see you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. And I listened to the show this morning, actually, so thanks for your tribute. Yes, that was outstanding. Sorry if I keep breaking down.
Yeah, you're right, yeah, mate. You're right.
I've got to keep taking deep breaths. But I just felt as though that I want to start celebrating him.
Yeah.
Yeah, for so long now, so many people would see me in the street and say, "How's Dad going?" And you got to try and explain, "Oh, he's not that great. You know, he's battling dementia." And when it happened yesterday, obviously there's that real grieving process which we'll go through for a while at the moment. But I just want to start celebrating how good of a guy he was. Yeah. You know, everyone talks about his rugby league career, and growing up as a kid, I looked at him as a fan, as we do, Rat, don't you?
Absolutely.
You go to these events and you see your dad getting stopped by everyone.
Yeah.
And my dad. And Rat, your dad was in pubs as well, so very special people are publicans back in the day, and it means they're great with people and they give their time.
Mm.
Sometimes their greatest strength is also their greatest weakness, which means they give all their time to everyone else except their family.
The wrong people. So you think, what about me?
So, I used to love watching him just give everyone his time. And so, I want to start talking about – everyone knows how great of a rugby league player he was, how great of a leader he was. Yeah, my greatest memories of how he tried to shape me as a young man, watching the way that he just was with people. And I always use this quote that, they said, "What was it like growing up in pubs with your dad?" And I said, he taught me to talk to the bricklayer and the barrister in the one conversation. So, guys, I'm still going to do a lot of grieving. I've never cried so much in my life, but I just want to start talking about him as a guy.
Yeah, mate, and I mean, our dads... I'll put money on it that your old man could be talking to someone, and you could go up to him and go, you'd be like he'd known him for years. Mm. When you meet him 5 minutes ago, and that's what they were like back in the day.
Garrick Morgan, who through rugby, Ratton, who I knew him through our fathers who played against each other, and I got to play with Garrick at the Crushers, and we've remained very good friends. And he texted me today, "Sorry to hear about condolences to your family. What I loved about your father is he made you feel like the most special person in the room."
Wow.
Bob McCarthy used to always say, "He looks like a choir boy, but he played like the devil."
Yeah.
And he said, I've in so many times, Sats, that I've been on the field with him.
The perfect teammate, really.
I heard you say that yesterday. I looked at him the way that he was with his teammates, and I could understand why Clive made him captain in 67 and why it was such a big gamble, but he was one of the only people that saw something in him. But Bob McCarthy used to always say, "He looks like a choir boy, plays like the devil," he said, because I'd see him on a Sunday afternoon at Redfern try and maim people who were trying to stand over his teammates. And he said, and within half an hour after the game finishing, we'd walk out the front of Redfern Oval and he'd be helping some old lady across Chalmers Street to the Leagues Club. And he said it was just such a contrast to the guy that you saw on the field who... he's famous for, everyone says he broke his jaw in the grand final. He actually smashed it in three places, and he's famous for that. But, he was a tremendous rugby league player outside of that, a great team man. But, just one of the real good guys. And so many people have texted me today and have said, I used to go and see him at the pub, the Stratty Hotel that he had, or the Queen's Hotel, or the Cecil, or the Pacific, or the Runcorn, the Lawton, the Redcliffe Hotel. All these pubs that we ran over the years, and we lived in those pubs as well. And so many people have reached out and just sort of said, you know, he just made me feel so special when I came into the pub. He always knew what I drank, and he treated me like I was the most important person in the world.
So that's, we've had a lot of people reach out to us over the last 24 hours and have wanted us to pass on, you know, their condolences to you. And I told you about a couple today on the phone. But we had people last night texting us, and even though they copped a wallop from your old man in the pub, particularly running nude. You know, you go, come on, put your clothes back on and just sit over there and shut up. You know, like everyone said he did it with affection. And everyone's got a John Sattler story.
Yeah, you know, he did. He touched a lot of people emotionally because he wanted to help people. He just always wanted to help people.
He cared.
He did, yeah. And as we just said, Matty, our fathers, their greatest strength is also their greatest weakness. Yeah. And as sons, we know their weaknesses.
Yeah.
From the outside, people see this great person, which they are. But then as a child, sometimes you're craving their attention, but they're so hell-bent on trying to help everyone else because they know that they're there to secure and protect their family.
How did you go with that, Satch, as a young boy coming up? And, like, I mean, John Sattler is just known by everyone as, like, the toughest human to, you know, lace on a footy boot. So how did you go with it playing as a young kid?
As a kid, I was okay. My mum copped grief
from
other junior club parents.
Right.
And to the point where it used to get physical on the sideline where she'd be attacked. And,
fair dinkum.
Yeah, and then...
did she break anyone's jaw?
She only broke a nail, that's it. But, you know, and he never entered into my football career. He never tried to give me a lot of... You know, had a lot of advice. Jared Wallace's dad, Craig Wallace's, and I are very good friends, and we were the front rowers in the under 19 Runaway Bay team. We'd gone through the whole season undefeated, and we played Blamble Jets in the grand final at Seagull Stadium, and we were losing at half time. I remember we were walking into the dressing sheds, and my dad was waiting outside the dressing sheds, which he never did.
Unusual, right?
And he said to me, "If you lose this grand final, it's because of the two front rowers. It's always about the front rowers." And I looked at Wall, and Wall looked at me, and we went out and played like Arthur Beetson in the second half, both of us, and won the game. And he texted me about that today. And, I don't know whether you were the same. I never struggled with living in the shadow.
I liked it.
I used it as a privilege.
I reveled in it. Yeah.
And also, it meant that people were going to watch you far more closely than anyone else. So it sort of put a bit of pressure on a sense that you just got to be at your best.
Yeah.
So, you know, he always taught me make sure you got the firmest handshake in the room, which I've tried to push onto my son as well. And I just want to start celebrating his life now.
It's great those anecdotes that our dads teach us. You know, I was the same. You know, your dad stand up when you shake someone's hand, look them in the eye, firm handshake, all those little things that, you know, we talked about your dad's beautiful song, the victory song that he sang. You listen to the words of that song, and you say that's. They're the words of a bygone era. They don't sing those songs today.
Yep.
But they were different men back then.
Yep.
And, you know, I was with a young man the other day, and, you know, a guy came in. It was an important person he had to meet. He didn't stay in his seat, put his hand up to shake his hand. I'm just sitting there thinking, who hasn't taught this kid to stand up and shake someone's hand? Mm. Like, you know, the things that our dads taught us that you remember and you pass on.
Yeah.
That's the legacy that they leave us. You know, and it's up to us to carry on that mantle.
Yeah.
He's left a good legacy, Sax, because you're a good bloke. And you've got a wonderful family as well. I love the stories. And I tried to explain some of these last night to Rat. And I can't do them justice. But,
I've heard a lot about this kangaroo.
Mate,
the boxing kangaroo.
I can't remember half the stuff you've told me on air and half the stuff you told me off air. But, mate, you want to celebrate your dad's life. He was a tough man on and off the field, as we know. Can you tell us some stories? Can we start with the coat of arms?
Yeah.
Can we? I love this story.
Yeah. So when Hamilton Island first started, Keith Williams was the guy that bought Hamilton Island. And there was a guy on the Gold Coast, the Beattie family, who had all these kangaroos, emus. They had all this wildlife. And Keith Hamilton bought the wildlife to send them up to Hamilton Island on this boat. And so we used to keep our horses there. My sister was a really good horse rider. And anyway... the Beattie said to Dad, "Hey, can you help us come and transport all these animals into a truck so we can take it up to Brisbane to put it on the boat?" And Dad said, "Yeah, no worries." So he went out there and they got a few on, and then the sun started going down, and It was getting really dark, and there's no light in the back of the truck, and he'd get the kangaroos, and sorry to any of the animal activists out there, but but you know, it was a different time.
It was.
And so Dad would get the kangaroos up to the edge of the truck, and they'd look in the truck and see how dark it was, and they'd try and push back. But as you know, the coat of arms, the reason why they're facing each other, the emu and the kangaroo, is because they don't take a backward step. So they'd sort of – and anyway, he'd get them up, and he said, right, I'm going to get up in the truck. You get them up, and as they get in, I'll sort of you know, give them a whack around the chop. And while they're stunned, we'll get them up the back of the truck. And so he did this to one, to two, and then all of a sudden he said, you know when you feel like someone's watching you? He said, has anyone got a torch down there? I just don't know how much room we've got up here. And anyway, someone shone a torch up, and he said, I was standing there, and I was just surrounded by all these big red kangaroos. And he said, all of a sudden, they just attacked me. And he said, I was swinging, and I was throwing rights and lefts and hooks and uppercuts. And he said, I reckon a couple of them actually had to step backwards that night. But I remember as a kid hearing all this commotion late at night. And I remember waking up and walking through the house, and there was this blood stain going all up the middle of the house, like someone had been stabbed. And I walked into the bathroom, and Dad just had scratches and chunks of meat out of his whole body where the emus and kangaroos had beaten him up. He said, you know what? I've played for Australia. I've represented my country. I just got beaten up by the coat of arms.
Good. A few good stories. There's been troubles in his pubs and that along the way, and he's had to sort some stuff
living
out.
Living the pubs was a great life. You know, I'd never give that back. It's, as I said, it gave you the chance to talk to the bricklayer and the barrister and in the one afternoon. And you know, every Friday night, all these ladies would always say to me over the years, oh, your dad was always so polite. I'd always go into the pub on a Friday night, and he'd always have a red rose there for me. But what they didn't realise is that Dad had all the tradies in there on a Friday arvo, and the wives and girlfriends would come to pick them up. And of course, he didn't want them to leave because he enjoyed their company so much. He wanted the pub to be full. He used to get the flower lady to come round at 5 o'clock every Friday afternoon with a tray full of roses. So he'd buy them all a rose, which forced them to stay and have one or two more drinks.
Yeah, nice.
And let their husbands stay. So
cost him $2, made 10.
Yeah. But living in the pubs are great. And you know, he was a non-drinker. He didn't drink at all throughout his career. When he retired in 75, he was 33 years of age, and his first year out of retirement, Carlton United Breweries asked him to go and run a pub in Gladstone. And he had to go and clean up his pub called the Young Australian.
Yeah, we had text messages about this last night. Yeah.
So he went up there as a non-drinker, and he was still super fit.
Yeah.
And from 1976 all the way through his last days in the pub, which was only, you know, 10 or 11 years ago, there was always someone on a Friday night that would turn up to try and win back the title.
Yeah, right.
They'd have a lot under their belt, and they'd say, you know what? Where's Sattler? I'm gonna go test him out. So, a few of his teammates, the ones that are still around, have reached out. Elwin Walters, who was a great hooker, won comps with Souths and then went over the Roosters and won comps with Arthur Beetson in 74, 75. He's still around Orb. His daughter, Kendall, who I get on really well with, rang me yesterday. And he's not travelling too well himself, Orb. And she went to tell Orb that, you know, Dad had passed away, and he said, oh, I've lost my whole front row. Because Lurch O'Neill's gone.
Sats, you used to irk your old man, though, when you were growing up, because you used to run around the house pretending you were Bobby Mack, weren't you? Bobby McCarthy.
He used to wear his
and
jerseys.
He didn't like that, did he?
Did you used to wear your dad's jerseys?
Mate, I did. I used to wear my dad's 1980 State of Origin jersey to training as like a 14-year-old, not realising what it was. I don't even know where it is now. How about that? Like, I've got a few beauties on the wall, but yeah, I used to wear them and, you know, pretend to be him or, you know, one of his teammates.
Yeah, he used to hate it. I used to run around and go, it goes from Sattler onto Pittard. On to Sims. It's a long pass out to McCarthy. And McCarthy, there he goes, McCarthy, the bustling second rower. And I'd be like 8 or 9 years of age. And he'd go, how come you're Bobby McCarthy? You know, I played as well, you know.
Mate, we've got to tell Rat this story and our listeners, of course, too. I know your sister's overseas at the moment, Lisa. Is she okay? She good?
Yeah, she's broken her arm and she can't come back because she's got to get surgery.
Right.
Which is killing her.
Yeah.
And yeah, when I rang her yesterday, you know, I was in the room when Dad passed away, and when he took his last breath, and you know, I walked out of the room and rang my wife back straight away, and then I rang my sister who's in Canada, seeing her daughter, and yeah, she's just distraught. You know, we like anyone would be when you can't be there for whatever reason. You know, and, so yeah, she's and then you know, I rang my mum, and my mum and dad have been separated for about 12 or 13 years, but they're still very good friends. And I got to say, last night outside of you guys, there's been a lot of people that have put up some great tributes, whether it's social media, on the news outlets, and the guys on NRL 360 last night, Braith and PK and Buzz. And also Brent Reed did a tremendous testimonial as well. And I just want to thank everyone for all the well wishes.
Mate, our pleasure.
It's been great.
There's one more story I want you to tell.
Yeah.
Remember, he was on Kangaroo Tour and your sister was born?
Yeah, my sister was born on December the 27th, 1967.
This story may offend people too.
Yeah, it will. and they went over the week after the grand final. They'd won the comp in 67, his first year as captain. And then they named the Kangaroo teams back then on the night of the grand final. And they still only did it not so long ago still. And they went away the week later, and they were away for 4.5 months. So they went October, November, December, and came back in the first week of February. And my sister was born on the 27th. Now, his roommates were Noel, Ned Kelly, and Peter Gallagher. And they used to call their room Boys Town. and anyway, Dad never drank. So when Lisa was born, about 3 or 4 days later, what they call it, not a telegram, it's some sort of telegram photo arrived, and it was a photo of my sister. Now, my sister was the ugliest baby ever born.
Right.
Ever born. Like,
it's true.
Yeah. Ugliest baby ever born. And anyway.
I hope she's not listening.
Yeah, she gets sick of me selling the story. But, and anyway, Dad put this photo on his bedside table, and there was like three single beds and bedside table in between. And Noel Ned Kelly came up from having a drink. You know, he loved a beer, and he goes, "What's going on, Sats?" He goes, "Oh, look, Ned, my wife Barb just gave birth to our first daughter, and her name's Lisa. And look, isn't she beautiful?" And Noel Kelly, you know, to try and paint an image, he looked at the photo and he put the photo away further, like, you know, to get your eyesight right, and he pulled it closer. He said, "That is the ugliest effing kid I've ever seen. It's got a bastard head pig on it like its father." And so Peter Gallagher left the room, and Noel and Dad went toe-to-toe for about 10 minutes in the room. They reckon the room was absolutely total.
Oh,
so
mate.
He didn't get to see my sister until the first week of February. By that time, she was pretty then.
Yeah, right.
Mate, we've got Jason Demetrio, the head coach of Souths, coming up next.
He's a great man.
Mate, did not hesitate coming on tonight, and we'll have a chat to him.
We're going to go down the family this week to Arcole Stadium to watch Souths and Manly. And I've been talking to Souths today, and they've got a commemorative jersey for this weekend, hopefully, which Dad was famous for his grand final jersey in 70, which had half a rabbit ripped off.
Yep.
So they're going to try
That's the missing jersey.
Yeah, it's still missing. And you know, he's asked to be cremated as well. That was part of his funeral plan. And you know, I'm hoping, fingers crossed, we can take some of those ashes and sprinkle them on Redfern Oval and have a memorial there. And he always wanted his ashes to be next to his mum and dad's, in his little hometown of Curry Curry, Western Newcastle, which we'll do that. And I asked South Sydney today, we want to put something on his coffin. And Mark Ellison, who's been so good, Mark is the general manager of footy at South, former South legend himself, and he just said, you know, how about the commemorative jersey that we play in this week, that our captain and number 13, which was Dad's number, Cam Murray, how about we drape that jersey over it? And I just couldn't be good enough for the club.
Oh mate, that's very moving, Sats, and mate, so well deserved. And mate, I'm sure when you have that tribute down at Redfern to your old man, there'll be thousands that'll show up to show their respects. And it would be a more fitting place to spread some of your dad's ashes.
Yeah.
Spread some of my dad's on Endeavour Field.
Endeavour Field.
Endeavour Field. Park. Not Shark Park, Endeavour Field.
Great stuff. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate your support.
I hope you're okay.
And thank you, listeners, very much for all your messages.
There's a lot of love out there for John Sattler, yourself and your family, Sat. Yep. So go well, all right?
Thanks, guys.
And by the way, there will be a 1 hour tribute to John Sattler this Saturday on SEN Queensland stations and on SEN 1170 in Sydney. There'll be different times, but it'll be in the lead up to the South Manly game on Saturday night. You'll hear from Craig Coleman, Bobby McCarthy, Jason Demetrio, Ron Coote, Nick Pappas, and of course Sats himself. One thing I do want to play to you before we go to a break, because we want to chat to Jason Demetrio, was Tugger. We had him on last night, Craig Coleman.
This morning. He was outstanding.
And,
yeah,
and right. His memories of your dad, John.
Where does John Sattler fit into the South Sydney, you know, history and the story? What does he mean to South Sydney?
He is South Sydney. He means everything. And you know, I get goosebumps talking about him because he meant so much to all of us. And you know, he was our leader, our hero, and the legend, you know, and he will never, ever be forgotten. And I was very lucky to grow up through that era. And, you know, we never had much as kids in Redfern in them days, but we had our footy side. And, you know, I remember as a kid at the SCG, I'd be on the hill there, and you first see him coming down the members' stairs, because South played there quite often. The biggest roar ever would come down when you see Sats leading them down the stairs, the famous stairs of the SCG. And
yep.
I remember as a kid saying, I'm gonna come down them stairs like Sats one day. And, you know, he inspired us, you know, to chase our dreams. And, you know, it's just, mate, you know, he's supposed to live forever. You know, heroes live on forever. And, that's what we always thought Sats would, and yeah, I'm just so sad.
There you go.
Well, God need another front row up there for Lurch and Arthur Beetson and Chuck Raper at lock, and so he's got another one up there for his bench.
You betcha.
Yeah.
We love you, mate. Take care.
Thanks, guys.
All right, this is Sports Day. Back in a moment with Jason Demetrio, head coach of the South Sydney Rabbitohs.
The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day. We'll be back soon. The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. Scotty Sattler just joined us for the start of the show, sharing some wonderful stories about his dad, John, and, yeah, amazing stories. I never get sick of hearing them. Right?
No, how funny is that? I just got beat up by the coat of arms.
Unbelievable. Jeez, I'll tell you what, the text machine has blown up to 0457-736-736. We're just waiting on Jason Demetrio to get on the line. Brisbane Eel. Sats, I hear you loud and clear. Mum passed away after 4 years of battling Lewy body dementia in December last year. We take each day as it comes, but yes, we need to celebrate their lives now. They are at peace. Be kind to yourself.
Yeah, so another subtle tribute, Sats. My mum loves South and loved your dad. He was a great man, and you come across as a champion bloke who I look forward to one day having a beer with. I'm your number one fan who refers to you as a comic genius, much to Woogie's angst. That's from Adrian at Rouse Hill.
Yeah, lots of great messages coming through. Beautiful stuff listening to all this, lads. Credit to you, Sats, and love to all the family. What a great, great man.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
John and Scott.
And you know what comes across, Woogie, when you sit here and you say he's a great footballer, he's a better bloke. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and we all know how good a footballer he was.
Yep.
But he was a better bloke.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And that's what you want in a person. You know, sometimes you can meet your idol and you're bitterly disappointed.
Yeah.
That wasn't the case with John Sattler.
No. And you can tell, mate. You can tell by the family. You know, we know the family and they're just wonderful people. And Sats' kids are great as well. And
yeah. Well, it says this text here, Sats, my condolence. Quite a few times at Sacred Heart Church, Fairways Drive, I would go and see your dad, Johnny, at the left end of the pew and have a chat. A beautiful, gentle human. Sincerely, Rousey, a.k.a. Bondi, from Bondi Jack.
Lovely. Yeah, afternoon, legends. Thank you for sharing your story, Scott. It's been amazing to hear. You have amazing strength and we'll all admire and thank you. It's been incredible listening the last couple of days with all the stories. So that's from the Adelaide Rooster.
Yeah, and here's one from Gladstone. Hey, Sats, the people of Gladstone hearts and prayers are all with you and your family, mate. When your dad ran the Young Australian Hotel and touched the lives of many, and he will always be held in high regard. The tributes are flowing, and he will always be remembered. Hambone from Gladdy.
Yeah, and the reptile on the text too. Evening, guys. To a South man like myself, John Sattler is an immortal, and I truly believe that the myrtle is John's sweat and tears. The cardinal is his blood. Rest in peace, great man. Wonderful text messages coming through for a wonderful man in John Sattler. We're going to take a break. Hopefully on the other side of this, Jason Demetrio, head coach of South Sydney Rabbitohs, joining us next here on Sports Day.
The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day. We'll be back soon. The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day.
Yeah, welcome back to it. Scotty Sattler has left the building. He was here before, and you've got Matt Rogers and Jason Matthews here.
Yes, you have.
For tonight. Hey, there's just a quick text here from Mark. Is the NRL going to have a one-minute silence at every home game this weekend? All the best to the Sattler family in this difficult time. R.I.P. John the Legend.
I would be shocked if they didn't.
I reckon they would.
Yeah, I mean, that is probably a given. I know probably every rugby league player this weekend will be wearing black armbands for John.
No doubt South will be doing something. If it comes off like Sats has said, that jersey with the half rabbit, incredible.
Oh, yeah.
You know that jersey's still missing. We talked about that about a year or 2 years ago, and that jersey is actually still missing. I think we've finally got the busy coach from the Rabbitohs, Jason Demetrio, on the line. JC, you there?
Yeah, hey, evening guys. Sorry about that.
No, all good. We know you're busy, and we've just had Sats in sharing stories about John tonight, mate. So it's given us a chance to wipe our eyes and get ready for our interview, which is no doubt a tough week, not only for the Sattler family, but for the Rabbitohs club. Jace, explain to our listeners what John Sattler means to South Sydney.
Yeah, I think it's hard to put into words what he means to the club and that era of player means to the club as well. But since my time at the club, or growing up as a football lover, you know, Sattler name was entrenched in rugby league folklore. And then to work at a place like South Sydney, you quickly come to understand why. And there's a fair amount of passion from our supporters and, you know, John's time at the club, not only as a player, but what he did in terms of leading the march to get the club back in to the NRL, and what he showed, how much the club meant to him, has left a lasting legacy. And there's no doubt what he brought to the club is etched in the four walls inside Redfern, and we'll be sure to take that with us to Heffron as well when we move.
Yeah, Jace, it's Matt Rogers, mate. Mate, John was such a tough man on the field and such a giving and caring man off it. He'd do anything for his teammates. And his legacy is one that sort of, is it one that you use as an example for your current playing group? Is it one that you sort of, that the boys are aware of?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. The history is a big part of our club, and we talk often about it, and the players that have left their mark before us was part of our talk. Some of our discussions that we had when we did a walk from Redfern to Heffron in the pre-season as part of our culture building for our young players to understand the history. And, I think it's a big part of what makes us a club. You know, without recognising the history, then you're not a club. You're just a group of players that are playing for a certain time. But we're more than that. And the players are really strong in having a voice in and around that to make sure they carry that history with them.
Yeah,
but John's contribution to the club was enormous. And I even remember last year in the final series, and Sats sending me a message from John saying that was old school Rabbitohs and we beat the Roosters in the final. So he was still, up until then, really enjoying watching the Bunnies play.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Mate, look, it's a tough week for South fans, for South players, for the coaching staff, and anyone involved with the club. Mate, it's going to be tough to manage. How are you going to, I guess, temper the emotions? Because, I mean, it can be a pretty exhausting week with all this emotion sort of flowing. Have you got any plans to sort of try to keep the guys protected away from sort of, I guess, anything that's going to sort of wear them out too much prior to what is going to be a huge moment when you take the field against Manly on the weekend?
Yeah, I think, you know, for us, we'll talk about it tomorrow when we get in. Obviously, the players are off today, so it's a day-on, day-off week, so it sort of gives them a bit of space between sessions and press and stuff that they have to do on training days. But I want it to be a celebration. I want us to celebrate the great things that he brought to our club on the field and off the field. And I think the players will embrace that pretty well and use that as that little bit extra motivation. You know, the players are fairly motivated anyway, but when you're putting on that tribute jersey, I'm sure that it'll mean a lot to them come Saturday night.
Yeah, gee, there will be a lot of emotion Saturday night at a corner. I know we've got a lot of South fans who listen to the show, Jason, and no doubt they'll be there in their droves on Saturday night. And it's great to hear that commemorative jersey. Sats did have a discussion with Mark Ellison today, and the half the bunny, of course, it is the famous missing jersey of John Sattler's. And if that's what the team are wearing this Saturday night, mate, I've got chills just talking about it as a Rabbitohs fan.
Yes, again, you know, you have moments in your career where you get to represent more than yourself, and this is one of those occasions that I know the players will really look forward to, and as a whole club, we get to be the ones that show what John's legacy meant to us and make sure our supporters understand that he's still a big part of our club.
Do you want to talk some footy? Great game against the Roosters last week. It was an amazing game of football. Tough, fast, a bit of niggle out in the middle. We heard about that last night from the Roosters. Cody was the target of that. Is there much to make out of that? Have you had to spend any time with Cody Walker this week just to calm him down a bit, Jason?
Oh, not really. I mean, obviously there's discussions we have in and around some behaviours that we want to make sure that we're about as a club, but look, Cody's frustration comes from our lack of execution. You know, we had three clear-cut chances and we didn't turn them into points and the clock was getting away from us. So that was probably a big reason why he was frustrated. And then it sort of boiled over in the end that, you know, Cam was, disappointed with some things that happened on the field and that boiled over. But up until that point, I felt the game was played in a great spirit. It was aggressive, intense, both sets of players handle themselves pretty well.
Yeah, mate, look, you've got a big game this week. You're trying to, get back into the winner's circle. You've got a few middles that are out. It's going to create some opportunities for some other players to come in. Is there any concerns? Is there any long-term concerns with your players that will be missing this week?
No, not long-term. You know, the most is about 6 to 8 weeks, and then we've got Saliva Havili and Liam Nyman back in around those times as well. But, yeah, not sure, mate. How much weight have you put on, mate? You fancy a game?
mate, I wouldn't run out of sight in a dark night at the moment, mate.
Mind you, the amount of cakes you bought the Savo, Matty, I think give him a couple of weeks, Jace, he'll be ready to go.
Yeah, mate. The style of football you guys are playing is exciting, but it's also, it creates, I guess, there's a little bit of risk associated with it. You know, I haven't seen a team sort of put together an 80-minute display this year yet. I mean, it's early in the season, but obviously that's the goal. You're working on sort of your completion rates and sort of getting your attack on. Is that the big focus for you this week?
Yeah, well, our focus for the start of the season has been defence. Our pre-season focus was that, and we're sitting just up there with the top four clubs in terms of defence, and we played three of the toughest teams in the competition away from home. So we're pretty settled with how we're going defensively, and off the back of that, obviously, you're not probably focusing as much on your attack, and that comes a bit more naturally to us. But we don't want to shy away from the fact that we want to play footy once we get opportunities to play. And although we bombed three opportunities, I felt we probably left another three or four opportunities out there that we didn't take. We sort of sat back a little bit. So my message this week is when we've created that opportunity to pull the trigger, we need to pull it and back ourselves, because that's what we do well. And that's what makes us a hard team to play against. And as long as our defence is holding up, we'll give ourselves a chance. So that's a big message this week.
Geez, Lachlan Ilias was really impressive in the first round game. His attack was amazing. But, geez, I was impressed with his defence last week against the Roosters, Jace. Oh, and, again, the fact that you've been working on your defence as a team, you could really tell some of his tackles were outstanding.
Yeah, you must be rapt with where he is with his game right now. I mean, he's developing into just a great first-grade halfback, isn't he?
Yeah, he has. He's got a great temperament. As you know, Matty, it's part of the battle when you get into first grade. And if you can hold your own up defensively, that keeps you a bit more level-headed as well. You're not stressing during the game because, you know, your defence is letting your teammates down. And he's doing that really well. And, you know, he's adding some little things to his game as well. I thought the try he created at the start for Keon was outstanding footy. And I think sometimes the biggest learn for him is just about understanding how he can contribute when we're on the back foot. And that'll only come with experience, but I think it's something that'll grow in his game.
Good luck against Manly this Saturday night at a Core Stadium. And unbelievable, the fact that, you know, John did pass away this week and you're taking on Manly this Saturday night, you know, almost a reenactment of that 1970 grand final. So best of luck tonight. I'm sure a lot of NRL fans, and particularly obviously the South Sydney fans, right behind the team this week. Best of luck, Jason.
Yeah, good luck, mate.
Sorry, thanks, guys. A special occasion that we're looking forward to.
Yeah, beautiful.
Thanks. There you go. It's Jason Demetrio, head coach of the South Sydney Rabbitohs. It will be an emotional week at the club.
It's going to be a real... it's going to be a bit of a litmus test for the team if they can just handle that emotion, because you can wear yourself out before you get out there. I think, you know, hearing from Jason then, he seems like he's got a really good understanding of where his boys are at, and he'll have them ready. And, you know, they understand the magnitude of the situation. They understand what it's all about. And, you know, they'll go out and they'll put their best foot forward. I'm excited for the game. I'm excited for the tributes that John Sattler so richly deserves. I'm excited to see the game honour a great man, and I'm excited for the game. It's going
to
be great.
Yeah, well done, South. Wonderful way to send off a legend of the game. And, of course, SEM will have a one-hour tribute to John Sattler as well. Prior to that game on Saturday night, check your local guides in Queensland or New South Wales. You'll hear from Craig Coleman, Bobby McCarthy, Jason Demetrio will be on the show, Ron Coote, Nick Pappas, and, of course, Sats himself, who joined us earlier. It's the John Sattler SEN's tribute to a rugby league icon. That'll be Saturday afternoon before that big game at, of course, Stadium between the Rabbitohs and Manly. Let's get to a break. This is Sports Day. Thanks to Kia.
The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day. We'll be back soon. The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day.
Yeah, welcome back to the show, Matty Rogers. Jason Matthews here tonight, 0457 736 736. Send us a text about anything you like tonight, or you can call us 1300 01 1170. Felice Kafusi is before the judiciary at the moment, and I know everyone in Brisbane is hanging on for this one, Rat, because does he play against the Broncos at a sellout Suncorp Stadium Friday night in what's been dubbed the Battle of Brisbane? Which I don't like. I don't like the name of it.
Why? It's Brisbane. It is the battle of the two teams from Brisbane. What do you want to call it? The Battle of Southeast Queensland?
No. Why does it have to be a battle? Come on. We'll
come up with something better.
All right. If anyone come up with something better, please, listeners. Can you do the job for me? 0457 736 736. We'll keep you updated on his appearance before the judiciary. We've got a team of producers and us refreshing our screens every minute. Mate, what's going on? Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, of course.
I tell you, I'm off sugar. Went to the doctor. The doctor said, mate, you've got to give up sugar, amongst other things, i.e. pizza, Macca's, all these, and beer and all that sort of stuff. And then you go out the Savo to get some fresh milk.
Yeah.
And you've come back with about 8 kilos of sugar treats. What's the go? Are you teasing me?
It was comfort food for Sats. It wasn't for you. It's not all about you, Jason.
Yeah, but I can smell the sugar.
It's good, isn't it? Lemon tarts and caramel slices. Well, mate, this is a test of your willpower. See how strong you are.
Woogie and Rat, Sats' tribute to his old man is coming up shortly on NRL 360 tonight. That's from Rooster Munger. I didn't know that was happening. We've got plenty of texts coming through, a stack of them. Hi, Sats, Matt and Jason. Sats, what are some of the best memories of living in Curry with your dad and family? Well, Sats has now left. Did you get to watch many local derbies between Cessnock and Curry? They're two teams that didn't like each other. That's from Sporty Gav, one of our great listeners at 2HD in Newcastle.
Rugby league heartland, isn't it, Cessnock? Some Curry, some great footballers are coming out of there.
RIP, thought and well wishes to you, Sats, and all the Sattler family. Cheers. Socks up. That's from 766. Beautiful stuff listening to all this, lads. Credit to you, Sats, and love to all the family. What a great, great man that's come from Chris. Keep your text messages coming through. 0457 736 736. I guess we should just quickly run through some. Do you want to talk about some ins and outs? Actually, you know what? You mentioned it in the ad break. Some stuff going on at Manly. Tony Mestrov has declared the club will not release booming young forward Viliami Fifita to the Dragons. You like this?
I do. I mean, he's signed to the club. He's a great young talent. If things, you know, go pear-shaped in their back row and they need someone to step up, then he's there. He's signed for that reason. He signed with St. George. But what, like, there's too much of this letting these players go. I understand if a club needs a clear salary cap space and they want to release a player and, you know, it's all mutual. But you can't just put your hand up and say, okay, I want to leave. I've just signed with another club. Can I go? It doesn't work like that. I mean, there are contracts in place for that reason. I mean, look, it's got to go both ways. But, yeah, look, I agree with Tony Mestrov here. He's declared the club will not release booming young forward Viliami Fifita to the Dragons. He's a great young player. He's contracted here for Manly for 2022 and we will not be releasing him. Fair enough. Fair play.
I love that. And Melbourne Storm kind of lead the way on that, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, their players have signed with other clubs. Penrith did it as well. Mm. They just, no, we're not letting them go. Yeah. And the more we can, I know this used to get under Badger's skin as well. The more we let players do this and managers do this, the more it's going to happen.
I think at times there are reasons. You know, players are living in another state and for family reasons and situations like that. But this is a cross-town rival.
Yep.
You know, like it's not like, you know, it's a family situation. This is just basically you signed, asked for a release. The club said no. Fair play.
And the club's the one taking all the risk, aren't they? They're the ones putting the coin up.
Yep.
They're the ones signing these players. You can't have it both ways, guys. No. You cannot do that. By the way, of course, we're talking about the Battle of Brisbane, which is happening on Friday night.
The Battle of Brisbane.
Broncos and Dolphins. I'm looking forward to this game, actually. What about the River City Rumble?
Oh, there you go.
I've got your
creative juices flowing.
Have you?
Must be all the sugar.
Yeah. I'm high on smelling it. That's what it is. Corey Jensen, front rower for the Broncos, joining us real soon. He's on the bench this week.
Yes.
So
he's got a fair couple of players to compete with to get a starting spot, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. So he'll be joining us too just after the break. This is Sports Day. Thanks to Kia. Back in a moment.
The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day. We'll be back soon. The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day.
Yeah, welcome back to hour two of the show. The Rats and Jason Matthews here tonight. Well, Matt Rogers, I should say. What
call me Rat, mate. Everyone calls me Rat. Right. But friends call me Rat. Actually, call me Matt. Thanks.
Actually, you'll be doing the last laugh tomorrow night. Not tonight.
We'll leave it for tonight. But I'll jump in and I'll do Sats proud. Tomorrow, I'll work on my material. But just a couple of texts about your the naming of the Battle of Brisbane.
I don't like it.
Jacker said, Rat, they have no business calling this game the Battle of Brisbane. That moniker belongs to one of the code's most infamous and iconic games, the violent and bloody Ashes Test of 1971 at Lang Park.
Yeah, good point. Actually, you know what? I'm going to, if we've got Corey Jensen joining shortly, I've got to play this.
Yes! Yes!
Yuck!
Like or loathe. Apparently, this is a brand new segment that started last week. Again, when I wasn't here, this hasn't got my sign off.
Yeah,
you understand this?
I was just like, I lost it when Sats kicked that off last week.
That's when Harry met Sally. You just want to confirm that, right? Just want to
the coffee.
I'll have what she's
Madonna.
Having. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Anyway, I don't like it. I don't like the what is it? The Battle of Brisbane. I don't like the name of it.
Well, we've got a few other options here. We're 906 is, you know, it's the Broncos versus the Dolphins. could be called the Seahorse Siege.
Loathe it.
Loathe it. All right. What about this one? The Port and Crows play each other, calling the match the Showdown. So this can be called, this could be Hoedown 1 at Suncorp.
Brisbane,
or the Hoedown. Brisbane is like a big country town.
Yeah, but that leaves the...
The Hoedown.
That leaves the Dolphins out. What are they going to ride a big...
The camp town racetrack, 5 miles long, Duda.
People are going to ride in... I could see kiddies riding dolphins in a stadium.
How about... This is from Steve from Dubbo. How about we call Friday's game the Frolic Between Friends? Would that better suit your taste, Woogie?
Come on,
Steve from Dubbo.
How dare you? How dare you?
Well, we asked our listeners to come up with something. They've thrown out some options. I don't mind the Hoedown.
Listen, Daddy Vass.
Is he yelling something from the cheap seats?
Can you not yell out? If you want to say something.
Come in and get on the mic.
Yes. Be professional for God's sake. Jeez, where's Jack? Where's Mini Jack when we... Hey, Toronto Rod, the Brisbane Bash. What about that? Like it.
I don't mind that.
R.I.P. and NRL legend. Condolences to Scott. Cheers from Toronto, Rod. Is there a better name than the Brisbane Bash? I'm not dissing the game. I'm really looking forward to the game. And I reckon the Dolphins. Well, if Felice Kaufusi gets off tonight, they'll win.
Oh, wow. You've claimed it. You've called it. The Battle of Brisbane just seems very lazy, doesn't it? It's just easy to come up with something. But, yeah, I'm very excited for the game. I mean, it's round four. I'm excited for the context of the game. It's going to mean, for both these teams, probably very little at the back end of the year, but it's the first time these two teams meet. They're both undefeated.
Yep.
You know, it's going to be a good hit out.
Mate, it's massive for the city of Brisbane.
And you are tipping the Dolphins if Kaufusi gets off, are you?
Correct.
All right.
I've been super impressed by them.
I'll bet you...
You don't need any more money, mate.
A four-pack of donuts.
No, you can't.
I will get you a sugar-free cookie.
How's that? That sounds great, doesn't it? Honestly. Just give me a glass of water. Did I tell you I hate my doctor?
I did go to this particular coffee shop just when I got all that stuff. Do you have anything sugar-free? She goes, water. I'm like, I'm good.
Tell her not to do the gear. That's what we do around. Seriously, I can't stand my doctor. I hate it when you go to the doctor and they say, "Geez, you're a bit fat." Like, what doctor says that, Rat? What doctor says that to you?
Well, mate, your doctor is trying to save your life. Oh, Fitzy's just come up with the Caxton Street Rumble.
But what's that got to do with Redcliffe?
The game is going to be every year. That game is going to be played down the end of Caxton Street.
Oh, I understand that. I know
they're not
going to
play
Suncorp
this. They're not going to play this game at Redcliffe ever.
Yeah, but don't you need to have some bit of Redcliffe involved in the title? And is Redcliffe really a part of Brisbane?
Greater Brisbane.
Well,
it's
really?
it's like saying is Cronulla a part of Sydney?
No, it's a
yes, it is the Greater Sydney. I like that, the Caxton Street Rumble. Well done, Fitzy. It's your first good contribution for some time, I must say.
0457736736. Got a clever name for the Battle of Brisbane. Throw it at us. We'd love to hear from you. A man involved in it is joining us on the line right now.
Michael Morgan gets his hands free and Jensen skids under the goal line and that might be good enough. Corey Jensen gets his first NRL try.
Oh, there it is. Crossing for the very first time. In fact, is that still only the only try? I better ask him. He's on the line now from the Brisbane Broncos, Corey Jensen. Corey, that's still not your only try, is it?
It is, unfortunately.
We need
the big boys crossing over. It's a great sight in rugby league. See the front rows crush over. I remember Ryan James just went on a try scoring spree a few years ago. They couldn't stop him. But mate Corey, how you going, mate? It's a big week for you guys up there in Brisbane. How are you handling the build up to what's going to be the biggest game of the season to date?
Yeah, like you said, it is a pretty big build-up. We're just sort of taking it as a normal week. Obviously, it's great for the town and great for the supporters around Brisbane. And like you said, it's going to be a first of what I think will be a rivalry going forward. So I think the fact that both teams are going really well to start the year is going to make it more intriguing, but I know the whole side will be looking forward to it come Friday.
Yeah, mate, your front row is such a young front row. I mean, you've got Thomas Flegler there, you've got Payne there, obviously. I mean, there's some experience there yourself. What sort of a difference did Marty, coming up from Manly, he's been around the game for a long time. What sort of difference has he made, or has he settled down sort of the middle of the field, having him as a part of the Broncos outfit?
Yeah, I think just that, like that experience. Like, we've got a very young squad, and Marty himself has done pretty much everything in the game. So having that sort of older head brings a lot of calmness, I guess. He sort of speaks up a fair bit in terms of that sort of rotation there, and got a lot of very, what's the word, like good middles, I should say. Paddy's achieving what kind of year he had last year, and Payne probably his best middle going around. Comp right now, and like I said, Flex having another great season, and I think Marty just being there is sort of bring that sort of level head and that bit of experience. It's really sort of settled us down a little bit.
Well, mate, he said that you guys have taken years off his life in terms of, you know, that he's just jumping out of his skin, enthusiastic, going to training with all your young blokes. Do you give him a ribbon about how old he is?
Not really. I'm not that far off him.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's hard to think of. I was going to say, it's hard to think of you as becoming one of the old boys too now, Corey.
Yeah, and I think I can sort of second Marty to that. Like, when I sort of came to the club, and he's right in that there's such youth here, and some everyone's sort of trying to better each other, and the forwards here, is they're very young, but they're very like athletic and very skillful, and it sort of makes you want to go to that level too and kind of keep up with those younger guys. And that's what I've been trying to do, and I've sort of found so... For Marty to say that, I can sort of, agree with him there.
We spoke to him a couple of weeks ago here on Sports Day, didn't we, Rad? And he was talking about getting his hair plaited by his wife, and then he massages her feet. Yeah,
cost him a foot rub.
Yeah, so, mate, ask him for a foot rub at training tomorrow. See how that goes.
All right, I'll have to do that.
Well, has there been much talk within the camp? I know everyone's trying to – I mean, Wayne's the master at keeping a lid on big matches like this. What's Kevy been like with... I hate it. I hate this term, the Battle of Brisbane. But how's Kevy? Yeah, but...
It's two teams from Brisbane.
I know, really. I know
well,
that.
Why can't we just call it the Battle of Sydney?
No, just call it a game. Don't have to call
Wake
it...
Wake up yourself, Jason.
Just hang on a sec, Corey. We're just going to have an argument. No, but has Kevy kept the lid on it?
Yeah, actually, like you said, it is... I think it's a big game in terms of having the two teams here in Brizzy, and I think it's like a great for the town. The crown will be buzzing, but same sort of kind of kept the lid on those kind of things, and we're just trying to build each week and get better in the areas that we can get better at. And we've had a great start, but we know that there's a lot of footy that we can still be better at and areas that we need to be better at again. And so we're just sort of taking another game. Obviously, the hype's going to be there, and so it should be, because both teams are going really well. But, come Friday, I know everyone will be ready, and I think, everyone will be ready to go, and you'll see what kind of game it is on Friday night.
You know who I feel sorry for? I feel sorry for your former team, the Cowboys, because that used to be the Queensland rivalry, the Broncos versus the Cowboys. The Dolphins have said, hold my beer, and they've become the new rivalry, haven't they?
A little bit, yeah. Like you said, I've sort of played in a fair few of those derbies, being on both sides. So I guess the Friday night's probably going to be very similar to one of those. And I think the hype around it is it's the first one to be done. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it's meant to be a sellout there. So looking forward to what the atmosphere is going to be like. And I dare say it'll be a bit of a mini Origin feel within the town itself. So it should be a good game.
Yep, Caxton Street will be packed. Prior to the game, it'll be a good place to be. Mate, can I ask you, I've got to ask you about your little live wire fullback, Reece Walsh. The last 2 weeks, he's been amazing, to be honest. I mean, I've been super impressed with him. Mate, what's he like around the team? Is he a cheeky little bugger? He looks like he'd be a cheeky little bugger, annoying you big blokes and just telling him to give you the ball and that sort of stuff. Is he a fun guy to have around?
He's not too bad. He's a very confident kid. I'll give him that. He definitely likes to be confident, back himself, but that's why he's so good. You've sort of seen what he's done so far out there, and that's he's got some brilliance in attack. Like, I think what he's been really working on, and which is such great for a young kid, is that he wants to learn, wants to get better. And, like, defensively, his role, he knows he has to get better there with positioning and where to put us on that. And he works harder than anyone else at the club there. He's constantly doing video with Darius and those guys there to help him out. And he knows that's the area he has to get better at. And we've seen what he can do with the football, which is pretty special. And he's one of those special talents that is out there and wants to work and wants to get better, which is very exciting to see.
Mate, I think I know the answer to this question I'm about to ask you, but I mean, where is this game won and lost against the Dolphins? I mean, obviously, you know,
on the field, mate.
Yeah, yes, Jason. Their strength has been, you know, really their middle and their edges. I mean, you know, is it you got to win that battle up front to win this game, or have you got enough skill to win it just matching them there, or do you need to get on top of them?
Oh yeah. I think most people say that most games are won in the middle and the back determined by how much. So it is all up to us, and they've got quite an experienced pack. You see the Bromwich brothers there and Kafusi and that. They've come from a great system and they've really ignited that side and sort of brought them together. And I know young Tommy there from up north, he'll be a bit of a firebrand come the Friday night. So they've got a pack there that we sort of have to get on top of. And we see our sort of side, and we've got a strong pack, and that's one of our strengths. And I think whoever can get there and over top of one another on Friday night will help their side go a long way to winning.
And yeah. We find out soon whether Felice Kafusi will be fronting for the Dolphins. And little Billy Walters says, we want him in that side. We want to play him. So, you know, you do want to beat the best, don't you? So that adds another little bit of drama to this game on Friday night, Corey.
It does a little bit, but I'm back up Billy there. Like, you want to play the best players, and I've seen the tackle there, and I hope he gets off. I don't think it's deemed to have three-match ban there for him, so we'll obviously see what happens tonight there, and we'll take it. We're expecting him to play. We're sort of trained and performed and expecting him to be there, and he's a forcer for them, so they'll want him to be there, so I guess we'll see what happens tonight.
Well, mate, you want him to be there so you can just prove you're the better team, right?
Oh, I guess so. Like, you
don't want them to have any. You don't want them to have any excuses. Just say, "Oh, yeah, but if we had had Felice, or if we had had,
yeah."
You know what I mean? Like, that's. I mean, as an athlete, as a player, and you know, you mentioned it, Corey. Like, you want to play against those best players, those top players. So yeah, good on you, mate. We're excited for the game. It's going to be fantastic.
It's going to be an absolute ripper, Corey. I just want to mention one thing before you go, and please don't take this the wrong way. I've spoken to you a few times over the last few years, mate. You've lost your Townsville twang. What's happened? You sound more sophisticated now you live in the big smoke.
Oh, there you go. Well, I think that's probably just me trying to fit in a little bit. I'm still a bit lost here, down here.
Don't let them change you, mate. Don't let them change you.
We love you. Corey Jensen from the Brisbane Broncos. It's going to be a ripper of a game on Friday night. Good luck on those away change rooms. That must be weird for the Broncos. It's Uncorp Stadium playing in the away change rooms. Good luck against the Dolphins Friday night, mate.
No worries. Thanks, guys, for having me.
The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento. Kia's large SUV. Available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day. We'll be back soon. The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento. Kia's large SUV. Available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day.
Cause I'm TLT.
I'm dynamite.
TLT.
And I'll win that fight.
Kids love this song, don't they?
TLT.
You going to sleep over there?
I'm still mortified at this intro.
It's Teamless Tuesday. That's what the TLT stands for, of course. And
it is
the most popular intro we have on our show. Welcome back to Sports Day. Matt Rogers, Jason Matthews in, right? On the Felice Kafusi decision.
He cannot be suspended for that tackle. He just can't. Like, it goes against every fibre of my being that he will miss rugby league football for that tackle on Jackson Hastings. It just should not be happening.
Okay. You're right.
All right. Okay.
If that was a New South Wales player, you'd be going,
mate, six
hang
weeks.
Him.
Six weeks. No, it's not that.
You
it's,
would.
I would not.
You would say.
I'm an unbiased broadcaster now, Jason, and I'm saying there is no way. I mean, he launches at him when he's in that motion of passing the ball. Oh. He pulls out of the tackle. He doesn't go on with it. He doesn't hit him in the head. He should be off and playing this week. It will be
and
a
he
travesty.
Should be given an apology.
He should
by the judiciary. Being,
he should
and
he
the should, match review committee.
He should sue yeah, for defamation.
You're unbelievable. Teamless Tuesday, quickly, let's run through these because we haven't got much time. Cam, by the way, if you missed our chat earlier with Sats, we're going to finish the show with that tonight. Lovely stories about his dad tonight and amazing stuff. Cameron Munster returns this week to the Storm.
Yeah, big in for them. I did read he's got to get a clearance from his specialist, but I've got very little doubt that he'll be playing this week given the state of affairs down there in Melbourne. Nico Hines, big one, back for the Sharks. Trindle to the bench. I thought that'd be the case. Nico was in outstanding form in the trials and in his All-Stars game. So he's shown that he can come off a spell and play great footy. So that's a fantastic in.
Adam Dewey at 1 for the West Tigers. Wakeham at 6. Laurie at 14. Geez, I prefer Laurie as the 1.
Oh, I mean, he's come. He hasn't played a lot of footy this year. So, well, he missed last week. Look, he's there to be used. Obviously, he's going to be on the bench, so
you know,
they'll use him if they see fit. They made some, they shifted things around last week, and they started to play some better footy. They might put him on later in the game.
You know my thoughts around Brooks, that I still think he's underperforming.
Well, he is underperforming, but the whole team money, is.
Yeah, I know that, Matt. I know that, but what if all these changes happen, and it's still not working? When are we going to start? When are the club going to start looking at Brooks and go, hey? Mate, maybe you need some time in the resis
well,
to get
all,
your form back.
It's all good. It's all good, Jason, to have that thought process. But who do they replace him with? Is there someone that they think they can put in there that can do a better job? Because if there's not, things get worse.
Well, they're not going. They're 0-3, mate.
They are 0-3, but they actually started to play some decent footy at the back end of that last game. If they can,
the game
just,
was over.
It was over, but they can just get on the back of that. I mean. They had eight minutes or so to pull out of the fire. They didn't do it, obviously. But Ryan Madison back this week. Big in for the Pen. The
I hadn't finished on the West Tigers, but continue.
No, Parramatta Eels. Yes. Parramatta Eels. Ryan Madison back. That is couldn't come at a better time for him. Up against Penrith, they need some strength in the middle, and hopefully he can add that.
Cotter out for the Cowboys. Totola out again. Knee injury this time for the Rabbitohs. He got knocked out. In the first, I think it's the second tackle of the round one fixture. He's just come back. Selly head knock and Shaq Mitchell has been really impressive.
He's been playing some big minutes for the
Rabbits. Ankle, very short on middles. You mentioned that to Jason Demetrio earlier.
Yeah, it's a concern. I mean, look, it's a big game this week. Manly have got some big edge back rollers. They've got some front rollers going forward. They've got to match it in the middle. Otherwise, Manly could run away with it. If they get on the front foot, you don't want to be backpedaling and having Tom Dravojevic and Okulawatu and, the like coming at you on the back foot. Parker, I mean, they're a good side, Manly.
I'm changing my bet for the Broncos and Dolphins game. Felice Kaufusi has been found guilty.
You are
and
kidding
is
me.
Unsuccessful in a downgrade, he will miss 4 matches.
That is
breaking news.
That
out
is
of the
an
judiciary.
Absolute joke. I'm leaving. I'm out.
I'm done.
It is.
That is the big news.
I understand they're trying to protect players. I understand that. I get it. But if he wanted to go on with that, he could have cut him in half and really hurt him. He pulled out of it. He was in the motion of tackling as he was passing. He was from distance. But he didn't go on with the tackle. It wasn't a hit like Suoli'i's, like after the ball was passed and he hit him in the back. It was not that. And it was not like the hit he put on Brandon Smith where it went onto it, went on with it and took him to the ground. He pulled out of the tackle. It blows my mind that this game sometimes looks for ways to get people out of it rather than keep them in it.
It was a unanimous decision too, right?
What's that?
It was a unanimous decision by the judiciary.
Yeah, right, well. Mate, they need to have a good look at themselves, those blokes.
Oh, I'm not having a bet with you now for donuts on the Dolphins.
That's ridiculous. I'm furious about that. I really am. It's like, one of the biggest showpiece. Like, it's not a reason to put him in the game, but have a think about it. Like, he did not go on with that tackle.
Okay, it's too late now, though.
No, it's a joke.
Rightio, break time. This is Sports Day. Fired up rats in the Sports Day studio tonight. When we come back, we'll look at some of those names for the game. It's got to be better than the Battle of Brisbane. One double two.
Oh, I've got one.
What, quick?
The Reef and Beef Battle.
No, yeah, that's as good as the Battle of Brisbane. There's one here from 122. I shouldn't be reading this out, but it said, what about the Redneck Rumble? That is clearly a text from New South Wales. Cut it out. This is Sports Day. Back in a moment.
The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day. We'll be back soon. The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day.
It certainly is, and a fired up Matt Rogers here tonight on Sports Day. Still blowing up in the commercial break about I just give the listeners the breaking news? Felice Kaufusi, he's bid to have his charge downgraded, has been unsuccessful. 4-week ban has been handed down. He will miss, obviously, the Broncos clash this Friday night at Suncorp and an extra 3 games, and the decision by the judiciary was unanimous.
I just can't believe it. Honestly, it's not about it's not what our game's built on. Our game is a physical, hard battle every time you go onto that field. And if we are going to suspend players for, it'll change the fabric of the game. And I know we've got to protect players. I get that. There was no high shot in this. He was, if anything, a fraction late. Okay, penalty suffice. He pulls out of the tackle. You see it. He doesn't go on with it. And he gets 3 to 4 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks. And okay, he's got some carryover points.
Well, the points don't carry over. They're wiped clean at the start of every season, but priors probably have. And Mickey G from Woodbury has mentioned that. Got to move on from that. Some suggested names for the club. I'm not a big fan of, the Battle of Brisbane. So we're doing like or loathe tonight.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
That's the worst intro I've heard.
Yeah. It's not as bad as TLT, but I'll cop
Broncos
that.
Versus Dolphins, Surf and Turf. Keith from Taree, thanks for your
Surf and Turf soiree. You can't just call it the Surf and Turf because people are going to expect a beef and a lobster to rock up at their seat.
A lobster? Geez, you live in a different world, don't you?
Or mud crab.
What about Wayne's return for the urn, Jay from Springfield?
The urn? Urn?
It was not the ashes, is it? No, we're loathing that one?
I get that. We loathe that one.
Hey, boys, what about the Caxton Street Classic?
I don't mind that.
380, okay.
It's going to be played there. It's going to be played at the end of Caxton Street every year.
You'd like Bills. Bills is, hey, boys, we should call Brisbane Bayside Rumble and have a mud crab as a trophy.
The Brisbane Bayside Rumble. Yes. I love it. Hit that yes button.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
I'll have what she's having.
And one more, the Bris Vegas cliffhanger. That's from Budster.
Yeah.
Thanks for your suggestions tonight.
Good ones.
On Sports Day. Thanks for your text as well on 0457 736 736. I know it's been a bit of an emotional night. Sats joined us at the start of the show. And if you did miss that, we're going to replay bits of that chat in just a moment. But he wanted to come on the show and just start telling great stories about his dad.
Yeah. And thank our listeners too for the amazing messages you've all sent in. You know, he came in and he was pretty emotional about it all, and he was grateful to all you out there that have sent those messages in. So we thank you for those.
Rooster Mungrel has sent us a text and says, "Woogie, it sounds like Rat is still filthy about that $200 yesterday."
I am. It happened to me again today. Would you believe?
I know. You first thing you mentioned to me. All right, got to go to a break. Our chat earlier with Scott Sattler, remembering his great dad, John Sattler, is on the way next on Sports Day. We'll catch you tomorrow night.
The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day. We'll be back soon.
Sports Day, Matt Rogers, Jason Matthews, and our great mate Scotty Sattler popping into the studio tonight. Boys, welcome to Sports Day. Sats, you rang me this morning and I was blown away when you said, hey, Jace, what do you think? Should I come in, have a chat? And I said, mate, it's up to you. And it takes a lot of courage for you to come in. And given the state you're in and your family and the pain you must be going through after losing your dad yesterday, mate, it's only just been over 24 hours. Mate, I'm surprised to see you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. And I listened to the show this morning, actually. So thanks for your tribute. Yes, that was outstanding. Sorry if I keep breaking down.
Hey, you're right, mate. You're right.
I've got to keep taking deep breaths. But I just felt as though that I want to start celebrating him.
Yeah,
for so long now, so many people would see me in the street and say, how's Dad going? And you got to try and explain. Oh, he's not that great. You know, he's battling dementia and... And when it happened yesterday, obviously there's that real grieving process which we'll go through for a while at the moment. But I just want to start celebrating how good of a guy he was. Yeah. Everyone talks about his rugby league career, and growing up as a kid, I looked at him as a fan, as we do, Rat, don't you?
Absolutely.
You go to these events and you see your dad getting stopped by everyone.
Yeah.
And my dad. And Rat, your dad was in pubs as well, so very special people, the publicans back in the day, and it means they're great with people and they give their time. Sometimes their greatest strength is also their greatest weakness, which means they give all their time to everyone else except
the wrong people. Say, what about me?
So, I used to love watching him just give everyone his time. And so, I want to start talking about, everyone knows how great of a rugby league player he was, how great of a leader he was. My greatest memories of how he tried to shape me as a young man, watching the way that he just was with people. And I always use this quote that, they said, what was it like growing up in pubs with your dad? And I said, he taught me to talk to the bricklayer and the barrister in the one conversation. So, guys, I'm still going to do a lot of grieving. I've never cried so much in my life, but I just want to start talking about him as a guy.
Yeah, mate. And, our dads... I'll put money on it that your old man could be talking to someone, and you could go up to him and go, you'd be like he'd known him for years. Mm. When you meet him 5 minutes ago, and that's what they were like back in the day.
Garrick Morgan, who through rugby, Ratton, who I knew him through our fathers, who played against each other, and I got to play with Garrick at the Crushers, and we've remained very good friends. And he texted me today, sorry to hear about, condolences to your family. What I loved about your father is he made you feel like the most special person in the room.
Mm.
Wow. Bob McCarthy used to always say, he looks like a choir boy, but he played like the devil.
Mm. Yeah.
And he said, I've in so many time sets that I've been on the field with him.
The perfect teammate, really.
I heard you say that yesterday. I looked at him the way that he was with his teammates, and I just, I could understand why Clive made him captain in 67 and why it was such a big gamble, but he was one of the only people that saw something in him. But Bob McCarthy used to always say, he looks like a choir boy, plays like the devil, he said, because I'd see him on a Sunday afternoon at Redfern try and maim people who were trying to stand over his teammates. And he said, and within half an hour after the game finishing, we'd walk out the front of Redfern Oval and he'd be helping some old lady across Chalmers Street to the Leagues Club. And he said, it was just such a contrast to the guy that you saw on the field who... he's famous for, everyone says he broke his jaw in the grand final. He actually smashed it in three places, he's famous for that. But, he was a tremendous rugby league player outside of that, a great team man. But, just one of the real good guys. And so many people have texted me today and have said, I used to go and see him at the pub, the Stratty Hotel that he had, or the Queen's Hotel, or the Cecil, or the Pacific, or the Runcorn, the Lawton, the Redcliffe Hotel. All these pubs that we ran over the years, and we lived in those pubs as well. And so many people have reached out and just sort of said, you know, he just made me feel so special when I came into the pub. He always knew what I drank and he treated me like I was the most important person in the world.
Sats, we've had a lot of people reach out to us over the last 24 hours and have wanted us to pass on, you know, their condolences to you. And I told you about a couple today on the phone. But we had people last night texting us, and even though they copped a wallop from your old man in the pub, particularly running nude. He go, come on, put your clothes back on and just sit over there and shut up. You know, like everyone said he did it with affection. And everyone's got a John Sattler story.
Yeah, you know, he did. He touched a lot of people emotionally because he wanted to help people. He just always wanted to help people.
He cared.
He did, yeah. And as we just said, Matty, our fathers, their greatest strength is also their greatest weakness. Yeah. And as sons, we know their weaknesses.
Yeah.
From the outside, people see this great person, which they are. But then as a child, sometimes you're craving their attention, but they're so hell-bent on trying to help everyone else because they know that they're there to secure and protect their family.
How did you go with that, Sats, as a young boy coming up? And, like, I mean, John Sattler is just known by everyone as, like, the toughest human to, you know, lace on a footy boot. So how did you go with it playing as a young kid?
As a kid, I was okay. My mum copped grief
from
other junior club parents.
Right.
And to the point where it used to get physical on the sideline where she'd be attacked. And,
fair income.
Yeah. And then...
did she break anyone's jaw?
Yeah. She only broke a nail, that's it. But, you know, and he never entered into my football career. He never tried to give me a lot of... You know, a lot of advice. Jared Wallace's dad, Craig Wallace's, and I are very good friends. And we were the front rowers in the under-19 runaway bay team. We'd gone through the whole season undefeated, and we played Balamble Jets in the grand final at Seagull Stadium.
Yeah.
And we were losing at halftime. I remember walking into the dressing sheds, and my dad was waiting outside the dressing sheds, which he never did.
Unusual, right?
And he said to me, if you lose this grand final, it's because of the two front rowers. It's always about the front rowers. And I looked at Wall, and Wall looked at me, and we went out and played like Arthur Beetson in the second half, both of us, and won the game. And he texted me about that today. And, I don't know whether you're the same. I never struggled with living in the shadow.
I liked it.
I used it as a privilege.
I reveled in it. Yeah.
And also, it meant that people were going to watch you far more closely than anyone else. So it sort of put a bit of pressure on a sense that you just got to be at your best.
Yeah.
So. You know, he always taught me make sure you got the firmest handshake in the room, which I've tried to push onto my son as well. And I just want to start celebrating his life now.
It's great those anecdotes that our dads teach us. You know, I was the same. You know, your dad stand up when you shake someone's hand, look them in the eye, firm handshake, all those little things that. You know, we talked about your dad's beautiful song, the victory song that he sang. You listen to the words of that song, and you say that's. They're the words of a bygone era. They don't sing those songs today.
Yeah.
But they were different men back then.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was with a young man the other day and, you know, a guy came in. It was an important person he had to meet. He didn't stay in his seat, put his hand up to shake his hand. I'm just sitting there thinking, who hasn't taught this kid to stand up and shake someone's hand? Mm. Like, you know, the things that our dads taught us that you remember and you pass on.
Yeah.
That's the legacy that they leave us. You know, and it's up to us to carry on that mantle.
Yeah.
He's left a good legacy, Sats, because you're a good bloke. And you've got a wonderful family as well. I love the stories. And I tried to explain some of these last night to Rat. And I can't do them justice.
I've heard a lot about this kangaroo.
I can't remember half the stuff you've told me on air and half the stuff you told me off air. But, mate, you want to celebrate your dad's life. He was a tough man on and off the field, as we know. Can you tell us some stories? In particular, can we start with the coat of arms?
Yeah.
Can we? I love this story.
Yeah. So when Hamilton Island first started, Keith Williams was the guy that bought Hamilton Island. And there was a guy on the Gold Coast, the Beatty family, who had all these kangaroos, emus. They had all this wildlife. And Keith Hamilton bought the wildlife to send them up to Hamilton Island on this boat. And so we used to keep our horses there. My sister was a really good horse rider. And anyway... the Beatty said to Dad, hey, can you help us come and transport all these animals into a truck so we can take it up to Brisbane to put it on the boat? And Dad said, yeah, no worries. So he went out there and they got a few on, and then the sun started going down and It was getting really dark, and there's no light in the back of the truck, and he'd get the kangaroos, and sorry to any of the animal activists out there, but but you know, it was a different time.
It was.
And so Dad would get the kangaroos up to the edge of the truck, and they'd look in the truck and see how dark it was, and they'd try and push back. But as you know, the coat of arms, the reason why they're facing each other, the emu and the kangaroo, is because they don't take a backward step. So they'd sort of put, and anyway, he'd get them up, and he said, right, I'm going to get up in the truck. You get them up. And as they get in, I'll sort of, you know, give them a whack around the chop. And while they're stunned, we'll get them up the back of the truck. And so he did this to one, to two. And then all of a sudden, he said, you know when you feel like someone's watching you? He said, has anyone got a torch down there? I just don't know how much room we've got up here. And anyway, someone shone a torch up, and he said, I was standing there, and I was just surrounded by all these big red kangaroos and emus. And he said, all of a sudden, they just attacked me. And he said, I was swinging, and I was throwing rights and lefts and hooks and uppercuts. And he said, I reckon a couple of them actually had to step backwards that night. But I remember as a kid hearing all this commotion late at night. And I remember waking up and walking through the house, and there was this blood stain going all up the middle of the house, like someone had been stabbed. And I walked into the bathroom, and Dad just had scratches and chunks of meat out of his whole body where the emus and kangaroos had beaten him up. He said, you know what? I've played for Australia. I've represented my country. I just got beaten up by the coat of arms.
Good. A few good stories. There's been troubles in his pubs and that along the way, and he's had to sort some stuff out.
Living in the pubs was a great life. You know, I'd never give that back. It's, as I said, it gave you the chance to talk to the bricklayer and the barrister and in the one afternoon. And you know, every Friday night, all these ladies would always say to me over the years, oh, your dad was always so polite. I'd always go into the pub on a Friday night, and he'd always have a red rose there for me. But what they didn't realise is that Dad had all the tradies in there on a Friday arvo, and the wives and girlfriends would come to pick them up. And, of course, he didn't want them to leave because he enjoyed their company so much. He wanted the pub to be full. He used to get the flower lady to come round at 5 o'clock every Friday afternoon with a tray full of roses. So he'd buy them all a rose, which forced them to stay and have one or two more drinks.
Yeah, nice.
And let their husband stay. So
cost him $2, made 10.
Yeah, but living in the pubs are great. And, you know, he was a non-drinker. He didn't drink at all throughout his career. When he retired in 75, he was 33 years of age, and his first year out of retirement, Carlton United Breweries asked him to go and run a pub in Gladstone. And he had to go and clean up this pub called the Young Australian.
Yeah, we had text messages about this last night. Yeah.
So he went up there as a non-drinker, and he was still super fit.
Yeah.
And from 1976 all the way through his last days in the pub, which was only, you know, 10 or 11 years ago, there was always someone on a Friday night that would turn up to try and win back the title.
Right.
They'd have a lot under their belt, and they'd say, you know what? Where's Sattler? I'm gonna go test him out. So, a few of his teammates, the ones that are still around, have reached out. Elwin Walters, who was a great hooker, won comps with South and then went over the Roosters and won comps with Arthur Beetson in 74-75. He's still around Orb. And his daughter Kendall, who I get on really well with, rang me yesterday. And he's not travelling too well himself, Orb. And she went to tell Orb that, you know, Dad had passed away, and he said, oh, I've lost my whole front row. Because Lurch O'Neill's gone.
Sats, you used to irk your old man, though, when you were growing up, because you used to run around the house pretending you're Bobby Mack, weren't you? Bobby McCarthy.
He used to wear his
and
jerseys.
He didn't like that, did he?
You used to wear your dad's jerseys?
Mate, I did. I used to wear my dad's 1980 State of Origin jersey to training as like a 14-year-old, not realising what it was. I don't even know where it is now. How about that? Like, I've got a few beauties on the wall, but yeah, I used to wear them and, you know, pretend to be him or, you know, one of his teammates.
Yeah, he used to hate it. I used to run around and go, it goes from Sattler onto Pittard, onto Sims. It's a long pass out to McCarthy, and McCarthy, there he goes, McCarthy, the bustling second rower. And I'd be like 8 or 9 years of age, and he'd go, how come you're Bobby McCarthy? You know, I played as well, you know.
Mate, we've got to tell Rat this story, and our listeners, of course, too. I know your sister's overseas at the moment, Lisa. Is she okay? Is she good?
Yeah, she's broken her arm, and she can't come back because she's got to get surgery,
right,
which is killing her.
Yeah.
And yeah, when I rang her yesterday, you know, I was in the room when Dad passed away, and when he took his last breath, and you know, I walked out of the room and rang my wife back straight away, and then I rang my sister who's in Canada, seeing her daughter, and yeah, she's just distraught. You know, we like anyone would be when you can't be there for whatever reason. You know? And then you know, I rang my mum, and my mum and dad have been separated for about 12 or 13 years, but they're still very good friends. And I got to say, last night outside of you guys, there's been a lot of people that have put up some great tributes, whether it's social media, on the news outlets, and the guys on NRL 360 last night, Braith and PK and Buzz, and also Brent Reed did a tremendous testimonial as well. And I just want to thank everyone for all the well wishes.
Mate, our pleasure.
It's been great.
We love you, mate. Take care.
Thanks, guys.